Hello and welcome to the UNS Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. Once again, the UNS.com partnered with American Music and Sound to bring the Electric Glen to Electric Forest in Rothbury, Michigan at the end of June. The Interactive Zone is a great place for fans and artists alike to play with the latest and greatest technology for electronic music producers and musicians from all walks of life. Additionally, the UNS host panels each year, and this year we were graced with a stellar lineup of artists including Bass Physics, Evanoff, Zugma, Papadozio, Turbo Suit, and so many more. The panel you're about to hear features artists who are all known for making down-tempo music. I was joined by Liquid Stranger, Random Rab, and Frameworks, to whom you're listening now. This is the title track from his Branches EP, which came out on Emancipator's label. All first-timers to Electric Forest, the three artists discuss their relationships to the changing EDM landscape, producing chill music for themselves and for fans, and expectations of festival crowds. Let's dive right in. Hey, Electric Glen, how you doing? You're looking beautiful. Day four, you are hanging in. You are looking very, very sexy today. I know all of you are super excited for our panel, so let's get started. All the way from Manchester, England, welcome Frameworks. And from Gothenburg, Sweden, Liquid Stranger is in the building. Forest, man. How you doing? How you feeling? You made it through day four.
Yeah, it's been beautiful. Really good. Really enjoying it, man.
This is your first U.S. festival, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's great. It's great. Really loving it.
So when you showed up and you walked in the gates and you saw this madness, what'd you think? Oh shit.
Well, they do it differently here. It's like they don't put as much care and attention into things in the U.K. like, you know, they do here. So it's spectacular. Really, it's cool.
This is not your first forest, right? You've been
here
before? Nope.
Oh,
this is your first?
Yeah.
First! Yeah. Forest. Yeah. What does it mean? I mean, I know you've been seeing these lineups over the year, and you've been seeing all the amazing art and the stages and the sound and all the care that goes into it. What does it mean to be able to finally play it? Is it one of those bucket list festivals for you?
For sure. You know, it's an accomplishment. And I just came here. Like, I haven't even seen this place yet, so I gotta check it out. No, it's gonna be fun.
You haven't taken a trip down the lane in the forest yet, have you?
We just got in.
Okay, perfect. Well, you are in for a treat. You are in for an absolute treat. The lights, the sound, everything. Let's give a round of applause to the people who put together this amazing forest. Absolutely incredible. They've been on site for weeks and weeks making it look just so juicy so you can walk through there and... That's what it's all about. So what I want to know is, you know, in the grand scheme of things, when you're playing a set of this magnitude for fans who know you, but also some new fans, especially you, Martin, you've had such a wide body of work, a wide catalog. When you put together a set for Electric Chorus, what are your thoughts? Like banger after banger after banger, or do you really want to treat those hardcore fans of yours who are here to a classic Liquid Stranger set?
You know, it's always, I always kind of wing it, I base it off of what I see. And at the same time, I'm prepared, you know, I've written a lot of new stuff. And it's going to be a wild journey, but today I was actually planning on going pretty hard.
Sounds like it's okay with them.
It's like, I feel like it myself, and I think this is one of those places where, I mean, you know, we'll go on a journey, but it'll be more dance music today for sure.
Sure. You recently started your own label, Wakan, which has really showcased some amazing, amazing artists. I wonder, you know, are you going to be able to treat some fans to some new Wakan material today in your set, or are you keeping it mostly Liquid Stranger stuff?
You know, like, I got into the rave culture in 1989.
Wow!
Very early. And
you look like you're 26 because you're in shape and you stay healthy, unlike the rest of us.
But no, I'm like a little boy still, but I've been around for some time. So when I got into this, there were DJs who played recorded music from other producers, and there were artists. And the artists would go up, and back then it was all hardware, right? So you would go up with your machines and put them, you know, make them work together and play a live set. So those two were two different worlds, and as an artist, which is who I was, that's just, I went up and performed with hardware equipment. And then as I started, you know, going over to CDJs and that type of stuff, I just kept that mentality that I'm going to go and play my own stuff. It's not because I feel, oh, it's so much better. It's just that's what I have integrity to do. It's my material. And I think that that's what the people know.
Sure.
But it's going to be like, you know, like I do collabs, you know, I've worked a lot with Space Jesus, you know, and we're working with a bunch of different people, so like I try to of course promote them too. Maybe at some point I'll start looking into doing. I mean, we did a Wakan mix, right? So like
yeah.
And then we'll do more stuff like that. But I also want to like I want to help the people who I work with, you know, my team to be the biggest they can be. So
sure.
It's more about governing and creating opportunities for everyone.
I mean, people get a sense that, that artists have this big ego and it's all about me, but you really are helping these young artists, some of them who've never released on a major label, some of them who've never released, period, to really have a spotlight. What drives you to do that? What drives you to help out these young artists when you could be working on your own music and be really selfish about it?
Because community matters, right? We all know this. So that's why we're all here. It's because of each other and the energy, the kind of combined vibrational force that we all, you know, emit. And so I feel, you know, if it's one thing that I feel like I've maybe slept on too long is being more communal. I'm kind of a lone wolf. I've always been doing stuff myself. I travel myself. I do a lot of things myself. But I found kind of basically, but then there's another aspect to it, and it's like, before you can help other people, you have to have something to give, right? So I think that's a very important thing, like more, it transcends music, transcends everything. It's like, before you have an opportunity to help, you need to have a buffer of resources. And so, think about that in life. If you're miserable, like as a parent, as a friend, whatever, you're not going to be able to really be there for anyone. So I've had to build myself, and you know, I've had a tremendous help. That guy over there,
Loper in the building,
scary looking guy over there, he's done so much for me, you know. It's not just me, like,
sure,
it's always been a team of people, but now finally we have enough resources, so let's share them and let's like promote all this amazing art, and that's what it's about.
That's admirable. That absolutely is. And the Tonio Sagans and the Space Jesuses, they all thank you for doing that. Let's give another round of applause for those coming out.
They're just amazing, amazing producers, you know.
Yeah.
That Space Jesus percolator working with Slump now to check him out, you know. Like, there'll be a bunch of new cool stuff.
That's exciting. That's exciting here. Matt, I want to circle back to something that Martin had mentioned in talking about that distinction between DJs and artists. Now, you know, before you were really able to get out there and play as Frameworks, you DJed and you've been a resident DJ. What's the mindset for you going into a DJ set versus this is a Frameworks set, like this is all my own stuff? Are you still preparing in the same way, or is it like, I imagine it's extra special to be able to play your music for new fans.
Yeah, I think that's the thing with when I go out and play my music, I feel like I'm putting a bit of me out there. So it's a lot more personal, and I feel like, you know, there's something in that. DJing, obviously, I can follow a crowd and you can play something that you know you're going to get a reaction with. But with my music, yeah, it's not that kind of thing most of the time. So it's just more about getting it out there and, you know, yeah.
We had this conversation a couple of days ago. It's got to be difficult to go into a situation where a lot of people don't know who you are and are not familiar with your music yet, and that temptation to want to play something that everybody knows is there, but you were saying that that's just not who you are. You're going to play music until your fans find you.
Well, sure. Yeah, I just think you can do that, and that's fine. That's one way of doing it. And I don't say, like, don't do that, but for me, I just want to do my thing, pretty much.
Martin, are you sprinkling in other Wakan stuff into your sets, or is it something that you would only want to do in a back-to-back situation, like you did a lot on tour?
No, I, like when I play my own sets, I look at it kind of like, if I went to watch a band, I would want to hear their songs. Like, I want to hear what they do. So that's why I do it. That's just it, you know? It's like, that's really nothing to do with or no ego or anything. It's just like, this is my turf and my shit, and so that's all I can do.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's like what you're saying, too. I respect that. But it's also like, there is... I've always been an underdog. I've always been independent. I've never been backed by money. I've never been hyped up or like, you know, you guys support me, you know, but it's like,
sure,
because I love you.
But it's like,
it's always been on a grassroots level, and I get a lot from you guys. Like, you guys are the reason I still do this, you know? So, but there, it's also an advantageous place to be an underdog. You know?
Sure, sure.
Because
nobody's telling you what to do.
Exactly. You're free. And so I think, like, cherish that.
I get that.
Time.
Yeah.
Exciting time.
Yeah, for sure.
Don't hold back. Just fucking go for it.
Yeah, man. Like,
if you were where Frameworks is now and know what you know, is there anything you would do differently, or do you think that you really have made your trail and you wouldn't change a thing about what you've done with your career path?
You know, life is what it is, right? I mean, it's just like, it happens. It's like you start from some point of origin, and then shit just seems to happen, right?
Yeah,
you guys feel like you're in full control of everything that happens. I don't feel like that. I feel like it's just kind of unfolding, and then it's about having enough integrity and enough perception, you know, to be able to catch the opportunities. I've slept on a whole bunch. I've been burned. I've been fucked over. I've been... You know, like to, I mean, but all of those...
The great parts of this industry.
But yeah, I mean, it's a major rat race for a lot of people, but it's just, with all of that, what you gain is experience, and with that, hopefully comes integrity and character, and then you move on from there, and that's just, you know, and so, like, don't look back in despair, like, ever on your life, just fucking move on.
Words of advice from a 26-year-old sage.
Why do you say that I'm 26?
I know you're not. But you look amazing. The panel topic that we wanted to cover is that down-tempo really is having a moment. I feel like a lot of people got into electronic music that weren't electronic music fans maybe before 5-6 years ago, and the stuff that really attracted a new crowd was the heavy, banging, raging electronic music. And it's my perception, and maybe I'm putting that out there, and maybe it's not true, but that as people have matured, gotten older, they were 15, 16 when they first started hearing Gatsik and Excision and some of your older, heavier stuff, and now as they get older, they're looking for something more substantive, something chiller, something that they can listen to while they're hanging out, you know, doing housework, things like that.
I think you just tapped into it. It's like, you need, it's a music, it's like a soundtrack for life, right? It's an emotional language. And so we need different aspects of that depending on where we're at. Like, if I'm about to fall asleep, I'm not going to put on some heavy dubstep. It doesn't make sense. So I think it's that, you know, and the other aspect, I think it's very accurate, and I've seen that myself, is that the people who started listening to my old, when I used to play really hard music for the most part back in 2007, 2008, 2009, they're a little old. I mean, you want to expand on your knowledge, and then the love could still be there for what you like.
Sure.
I still love dubstep.
I mean, I
love that shit. It hasn't changed for me at all. It's just like you gotta continue and expand somehow from that vantage point.
When you first started producing electronic music, and some of your fans may know that your Inner Chill catalogs go back years and years, and you've been putting out down tempo music and more melodic, and even ambient stuff and IDM for years and years. Is that where you started, or did you start when you started producing with the heavier stuff?
I started when I was 8 years old.
Wow.
And that was before like any of these genres even came up, so I never thought of that. I just wanted to express myself musically. I grew up in Sweden, a very small little rural village, I'd say, you know? It's like, I never found anyone who liked the same type of music as me until I was 18 years old. I was all alone. So for me, it was just like, it's about me expressing myself. I had no aspirations to become an artist or make money or do drugs. I mean, none of that wasn't there for me. It was just like, I want to express myself.
Sure.
And then, oh, it sounded like this. Okay.
So that early Liquid Stranger stuff, or was it even Liquid Stranger stuff at the time? What was that sound? Who were you listening to that was really, you know, giving you a path or a route, or saying, I want to sound like this, for instance?
My biggest inspirations were vintage computer games. So like the soundtrack to all the Commodore 64 games. That's my biggest inspiration.
Yeah.
And when I grew up, a lot of these children's shows, I think that's still true, but I don't look at them now, but they're really psychedelic. And their soundtracks were all these like analog move synths and stuff in the iron. Well, it's like that's my biggest inspiration.
Yeah.
Sure. That's why I started making music.
That's wild. So when were you able to start playing Liquid Stranger down tempo sets? When did that start becoming a thing? Because you have this big catalog, but I think most people knew you from your rage and banging sets.
No, I did down tempo sets way before I started making dubstep.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, like the indie show. I went on several tours in Canada and also in the States. Doing, I mean, it was on a smaller level.
Sure.
Here comes the guy.
Yeah, there's the guy.
Move over.
Guys.
Hop on up.
How you doing?
Good.
Random Rap, ladies and gentlemen. Rush didn't deal with my bullshit. Martin was talking about how, and I wasn't even aware of this, he had been doing the down-tempo sets live well before the dubstep sets. I didn't know that. I knew of his inter-chill work, but I didn't know that he was actually touring on that. And you were saying that they were smaller shows, maybe not, you know.
Yeah, but then before then, I did like really weird experimental IDM, electronica, like drill and bass, and really weird like ship music and stuff. But it's done all kinds of different stuff my entire life. And then I found that certain pockets of time, certain trends spark up, and things become more popular. And then, you know, there is like maybe an inclination to capitalize on that. It's like, oh, maybe I should do some more of that, because so many people seem to want it, right?
Sure.
And then, you know, but at the same time, I still make so much. I'm 90% of all the music I make, you guys never hear, because it's just like, I make it to express myself, and it becomes some little, I mean, I make stuff that sounds like computer game soundtrack sometimes, and she loves stuff or whatever, you know?
Sure.
But then, you try to kind of look at that material available, and then see, okay, what makes sense here. And I use my friends a lot to help me decide what to release.
Yes.
I can't release. I don't care so much about it. I care about what you guys think, but for me, it's not so important like what I release.
So you still, when you're done producing something, you turn to maybe Loper or one of your friends and say, does this sound good?
Yeah.
What do they usually say?
It depends. This guy's really honest.
He's tough.
Yeah, I mean, that's like what I really appreciate. You have someone, look for that in life, people, honest people. People who's like a real friend is the person who says tough shit to your face, and it pipes you up behind your back, not the opposite. So I surround myself with hard motherfuckers who will tell me exactly, keep me in check, keep my ego in check,
keep all levels in check. I think it's very important, you know?
That's super important. Rab, you know, you started in metal bands and were a rock and roll guy, and you didn't start making electronic music until you got your first drum sequencer, if I'm remembering correctly. When did you know that you were ready to be able to perform that out? Or was it, did you force it on the world?
I think just jump in the fire right away, you know?
Yeah.
Just like, I don't think there was ever, I think I was bold enough, but maybe stupid enough to think that, you know, somebody would appreciate it somewhere.
Sure.
So, just kind of like, I guess I started playing music in my band in high school and then just never stopped. So whatever tools I had, it just didn't really matter.
When you did start to perform electronic sets out, what was the culture of the time? What was the sound that people were really gravitating towards?
I think people were generally kind of confused about electronic music, at least where I was playing. And I actually had this guy come up to me, I was doing a live hardware set, and he's like, fuck you, you know, we're real musicians, I play guitar, and you guys are ruining it for all of us, and all you fucking DJs, da 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 da, you know, I was like, whoa, man, I love what you do, and hopefully you can just see this is all music.
Yeah.
So times have definitely changed, I would say. Maybe there's still some jaded folks out there, but
sure.
But yeah, it was cool to be a part of that moment when electronic music started to kind of gain traction outside of just your, you know, San Francisco and Detroit and whatnot.
Yeah, and before you got here, we were discussing how we've kind of come around the bend because this new greatest wave of electronic superstars who rise has really come on the backs of hard, banging, heavy party music. But now we're seeing people like yourself getting your moment. This is your first chorus, right?
Yes.
We're seeing people like yourself. This is a panel of virgins here, all three of them. Their first electric chorus. And finally, artists like yourselves are getting this opportunity to play in this more mainstream arena. And, you know, we're trying to figure out what it is that's allowing more substantive, more, you know, moody and emotional sort of music to really have its time. And I'm wondering if maybe you've got an opinion of why that's happened.
Well, I can't really speak for why anything's happened because obviously I've been enjoying the process of my own music, making my own music since the beginning. So whether people like it or not, or any of this type of music, but I will say that it might be a good microcosm example would be, I do remember when there was the whole dubstep thing was really taking hold, and it actually worked good for me because by the time Sunrise came around, people maybe wanted to hear more than just one or two notes. and I think that once you kind of really scratch that itch with a certain time, I'm not trying to down that any, you know, say anything bad about that kind of music, I'm just saying that once you scratch that itch, then maybe you're open to more musical sounding things. And I think right now the transition that I see happening is that people are actually just more interested in musicality.
Yeah.
And I've seen it happen all over the country. And so I think it's a really good trend that I hope it continues.
When you first started doing the Sunrise sets that you became known for and people beg you for Sunrise sets to the detriment of your sleep patterns, did you start to lean into the chiller sounds, or were you still making music that was higher BPMs, a little heavier, and reserving that for sets at other times? I imagine you didn't say laser focus on the stuff that was working. You were still kind of making your own path through the industry.
Well, for me, it was more like, thank you for everyone for giving me an opportunity to share the music that I truly love.
Sure.
You know, and that's what the Sunrise sets really opened up for me, because I felt before that maybe it was just where I was at in my life, but a lot of pressure to make more hard-hitting music when you're playing at 2 a.m. in a club or whatever. And so to have the Sunrise was like excellent. It was like, finally I have a venue, you know. So that's really what it was for me.
Yeah, you've both played Sunrise sets at Infrasound, which is a festival on the West Coast that really cares about some of the underground stuff that doesn't get represented. Was it your idea to do a down-tempo set with them, or did they come to you and say, you've got such a big back catalog, we want a Liquid Stranger down-tempo Sunrise set?
I don't remember. I think they actually reached out and asked for it. I tend to do it in special situations where I feel that it's going to actually attract, because I also do hard shit, like I do both, but and I like doing the hard stuff too. I really enjoy playing really hard music. I like to see that energy. It's like, it just grabs you by the throat, dance, motherfucker. I like it, you know? But I also like the more subtle, you know? It just needs to be the right time and place for me, you know? And that was one of them. But I don't do a lot of down-tempo sets.
Right. And you would do it for that Infrasound crowd because you know those people really are knowledgeable and do care and know about your back catalog and know that you are capable of doing this very special particular thing.
Sure, and even during my normal sets, like I usually open it up to the crowd to send me tweets, just request songs. Like I only play my own songs, but like I have a lot of different types of like, sometimes I get those requests, and if I get enough of them, I switch, you know? And
then
I
start set.
Yeah.
I mean, you've probably seen it. I've done it many times. And I play like a couple of those, you know, I can never go on pre-record and do something. I would never, ever do it. It's like, then you lose the element of like, oh.
I never even thought about that song.
But I mean, it's super important, like, to be flexible in the moment. So like you do your preparation beforehand. I have like five sets prepared for you guys.
Yeah.
So I'll take something from all that and weave it into what it's gonna be, you know? depends on you, and it depends on me, it depends on the whole vibe, you know?
Sure.
I don't know what to expect, how many people are going to show up, what the weather is going to be like, it's the last day, maybe people are tired, maybe they want to show, maybe you guys want to show, but I have that philosophy, yeah. Okay, it's the last day, before you do this, you gotta pull through, you know? So I think you guys need a little bit of crazy strangeness.
I need some liquid in my life, damn it.
Matt, you're coming here and you're performing for a ton of new fans, people who have maybe never heard you before, and they're walking between stages and stumble upon you. When you're taking your chiller stuff to the stage, do you have, you know, a trick or two to really get people engaged in music that's not bang your head, let's go, come over here and party?
I guess I do kind of the similar in that I don't try and plan anything really straight down the line. I want to have that flexibility to kind of go with what everyone's feeling, you know, at the time. But I've definitely try and also throw a few surprises in there, like remixes or little takes on things that aren't on my album or whatever like that, you know.
We got to witness one of those surprises in that you were able to get Ryan Visor back there on trumpet for your live
yeah.
sets. What difference does that make to have that live element in there?
Well, with my music, I feel there's quite a lot of like organic feels in there, like a lot of live instrumentation. And I think it's difficult sometimes to put that across when it's just me with a load of equipment, like electronic equipment. So that really adds that feel to, you know, on a live like place for it.
Absolutely. And how long did you have to prepare with Ryan for these sets?
Like 3 minutes. Yeah, it was quick.
It's beautiful so far, so we thank you, and shouts to Ryan Visor for stepping up and getting on trumpet and joining that Grizz marching band yesterday. That clusterfuck. Rab, I wonder, you're a multi-instrumentalist, and you know, you came from the band world. Now that we're seeing that pendulum shift from, you know, the laptop DJ craze of 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010, and now everybody wants to have that live band, that live approach, are you bringing more live instruments into your own set, or are you kind of sticking with more of the analog hardware that you like to use?
I mean, I'm doing both. I'm doing all of the above.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying. I feel like it's really just people are more open-minded to all of these things.
Sure.
So, I'm actually, yeah, there's no one way of going about it. Kind of like what he was saying, it's like you got to be open and flexible for what people are there for. And there are times where I do feel like it's more appropriate to be minimal and streamlined and not have a bunch of musicians. And other times you want like your whole crew up there. So it's really about just being in the moment and being and I'm trying to understand as best as possible about what this moment is going to be about for everyone and yourself.
We're at an interesting time because you have all these amazing artists at your disposal. I remember a couple years ago for the Envision Sunrise, I think you had both Derek Van Scoten and Ayla Nerio, who were able to join you on their amazing instruments and be able to share their art with you in what used to be such a solitary thing. It used to be just you up there for the whole set. Being able to work with all these people, I gotta imagine it harkens back to the band days and is more fun for you up there, frankly.
Yes, definitely more fun like that, especially when it all just clicks, you know, it's like magic in that way.
Absolutely, absolutely. Martin, I imagine you felt the same way about being out there and being Liquid Stranger all these years, and that's probably where those outstanding, absurd, insane back-to-back sets came from this past tour with Space Jesus and with AU5. I imagine, you know, that's the same for you. You don't want to be up there all night long. You really want to share that space with your friends.
Definitely. I'd say that the one thing for me, it's become very lonely, right? It's a very lonely life, even in terms of if you look at, you know, a private life, your relationship, you being on the road this much, like, it's a commitment and a sacrifice and a compromise in a lot of ways. And I think for me, it's been a very lonely road, and now when I can share that, have a platform and share that with people I really believe in, people I really love, it means a lot. That was my favorite time on the whole Wakanda.
Sure.
Was when we went up there, all three of us, and did our thing.
And that was just kind of on
dance.
The first day, right? Like you thought, like, hey, let's do this, and
yeah,
that became a staple of the tour.
We did it every single song.
And the videos that came out of it, people were just so excited. And again, that's you sharing your platform with these new and upcoming artists.
See, that's the other important thing I feel is that, you know, like if you are a team and you go out on tour together, I've reacted on it actually, that it's become this kind of like keep your opening at like 30% of the volume without any lights, and then make people look small so you can look bigger, and I hate that shit. Like, I just gotta be honest about it. I think it's like, you gotta make a team effort, you know, and like, and just, you know, make the best situation for everyone.
Absolutely.
That's ultimately the smart way to do things too, because it's gonna come back, you know, it's just like, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. These fans know it more than anyone else. Matt, when are you playing today?
5 o'clock on the Forest Stage.
Forest Stage, and there, and then Rab, you're on the Forest Stage later that evening. What time?
9:15.
9:15 on that Forest Stage. And then Martin, where will you be playing this evening?
I'm playing at 4 on the Forest Stage.
Oh! Yeah. Looks like we've got just back-to-back-to-back insanity in the Forest. It's going to be beautiful. Thank these guys one more time. Random Rab, Liquid Strangers, Claire Marks, come see them tonight. We've got Mark Hill in the group, he's coming up green, Jack is in the blood, get the shit around, come help these guys, come help each other.
We close out with the Liquid Stranger remix of Desert Dweller's Wings Above Waves. Thank you so much for listening. We'll have more audio from Electric Blend panels at Electric Forest, including Mark Hill of the Floozies, Zugma, and the Papadozio Gentlemen going deep on their gear. Super fascinating stuff. Special thanks to Madison House, to Insomniac, to American Music and Sound for always welcoming us on site at Electric Forest, helping put together the Electric Glen panels and bringing in together all the gear. It's so much fun. We love doing it each and every year. Keep up online at theunce.com and make sure to give us a like, a heart, or a follow on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. We're at The Unce on all three platforms. I'm Anand Harsh. Till next time, take care.